Aquaman wrong side of the pond. Make sure you pour that right. He is DJ Schweitzer. Oh, very well done.
Yeah, thank you.
I am Jeremy Lance.
This is a beer.
That's a beer.
Yeah.
This is about a third of a beer.
We'll fill you up shortly, buddy.
I'll get to it. And hey, we got a podcast.
We do have a podcast.
Didn't last week.
We did not. Didn't really give you any heads up on that. I tweeted out that we were on international duty. Surprise call-ups. I lied. We weren't.
No.
Yeah, we just decided to take a weekend off. We used to do that way more frequently on international breaks.
Oh, yeah, like we used to take them all off.
Like, oh, yeah. It's like, we don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
This year has obviously been a bit different than that, but our spouses probably enjoyed having us around a little bit more than they normally would have.
Debatable.
Yeah. Well, I know mine did. I probably earned some well-needed husband points.
Yeah.
By taking last week off. So if you were upset about that, I apologize, but I needed it. So,
did you have a good weekend?
No. No, I did not.
Same.
Yeah. For very different reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine's footballing related, of course, and yours is not footballing related.
My house and car falling to pieces.
Your car has been relegated to the cannot sell mode.
Relegated to CarMax, I believe, is where it's going to be headed here soon.
And then you had some other problems as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And my hot water heater. Also in, literally in the drop zone. It had to be dropped out of our house and removed and a new one put in.
Relegated to a trash heap.
Yeah. Actually, it's, I feel like just total white trash for saying this. At the moment, it is actually still like, the sidewalk on our front, like the front of our house.
Oh, it's amazing.
I haven't dragged it, all 100 plus pounds of it, down to the curb yet.
It would be really Trenton of you to just leave it there for a while.
I might do it.
Spring.
I mean, I'll be gone all week. Yeah. So what do I care?
Yeah, you don't care. Yeah.
I might just kick it over into my front lawn and just roll out.
The neighbors will have to take a look at it.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Ohio. It's wonderful.
It's been a great weekend.
Yeah, it really has.
Yeah.
It really has.
Before we get to, hey DJ, how about your team? Hey DJ, how about our fantasy?
Oh, man. I guess we should talk about it, right? Let's just say that both of us have continued to suck.
Oh, okay.
This isn't anything new for those of you who have tuned in on the regular.
I captained Harry Kane, so I should be pretty good.
Nah, it didn't work out well for either one of us. We both fell double-digit numbers. I'm in 123rd place. You're in 119th. We're creeping towards the bottom of the pile. There are only 141 teams in this league, so we're getting close. I tried this week. I legitimately tried.
What a good move would have been Callum Wilson? He had a hat trick.
Stupid.
You would have been the one moron that captained him.
Someone in England did that.
Was like a huge and super fan?
Yeah, and bet a bunch of money on it and probably made a crap load of money. I can't imagine it didn't happen.
Good for you.
Yeah. At the top of the league, though, Lawyers, Guns, and Mane, 2 weeks in a row, Jay Slack's team holds on to the first spot, although very narrowly. Important to note, we both maybe didn't fall that far, and Jay may get overturned at the top, given that there's still a match to be played this weekend / Monday. So we could each go
a real big match.
I'm actually waiting for some substitutions that might give me like 1 or 2 points each, so It'll be enough.
I actually just remembered. I hired a new ref this week, and his last name was Slack, and I forgot to ask him if there was any relation.
Oh, man, I really hope that it's...
Jay, if you're listening, and you have a brother named Trevor, I may have hired him to be a ref for me.
Trevor Slack.
Trevor Slack.
Brother to the famous Jay Slack. There is fantasy update, and shall we move into my misery for the reality of the weekend as well?
They say misery loves company.
Mm-hmm.
North London Derby was the way we kicked off the EPL weekend. So not only did you have to watch what ended up unfolding, you had to do it at 7:30 in the morning.
There's no better way to kick off the rest of your entire fucking weekend than watching your team lose to its biggest rival at the crack of dawn.
Yeah. Like your weekend, your weekend was ruined before 10 a.m.
Yeah. It really was. I like how you titled this segment. Every Sunday, Jeremy sends me a text. here are the topics we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I was doing this while holding a hot water heater in place.
Yeah.
As a friend wrenched it into a position.
Hey, you were playing a part there, buddy.
Just typing away.
Yeah. You titled this, though, North London is Red. Just to remind me. It's a little
It was either going to be that or North London Sadness. And I deleted that at the last second.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to title this episode, North London is a Color That Is Not White.
I mean, I would say, looking at the standings, it would still be blue.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? North London can be red.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, I think that's...
For the moment.
For the moment, anyway.
Say the London as a whole, though, still blue.
Yeah. Let's talk about the game before we talk about like this whole power shift
dynamic
thing that everyone wants to talk about and make a big deal out of this match. I'm going to say this much. Spurs, I think, were deserved losers. Arsenal were the better side on the day. Not really any question about that, in my opinion. It does drop Spurs down to fourth. Arsenal are up in sixth now, keeping pace. But
Don't worry, no one capitalized on the fact that you fell to fourth.
No, no one did at all. Spurs now just a point ahead of Arsenal in sixth, though, so that tells you how tight things are up in that area. A lot's kind of being made about whether or not Spurs are on the losing end of some really questionable refereeing decisions and how that impacted the outcome of the game. Both goals for Arsenal were arguably offside. I've talked a lot about this on the show, and it sounds like times like I only say this when it's not my team who's being affected, but I'm going to say the same thing here that I always say. They were so damn close. And these things, you're the beneficiary usually over the course of the season as much as you're on the losing side of them. I'm going to write off like the offside things. Like, to me, that doesn't really matter all that much in the big scheme of things.
Okay.
It sucks that it was twice
pretty
in the
big
same,
of you.
It's twice in the same game. That sucks. But like, they were really narrow decisions, and sometimes those things are missed. So I'm not going to really feel too shitty about that. I do think there were arguments for Mike Dean giving away like some decisions that were impactful in the way the game unfolded. The first goal for Arsenal, the phantom foul called on Davinson Sanchez on Alexis Sanchez. Total crap call. Like, literally both guys were both pressing on one another. How that could have been called is really not apparent to me at all. And that led directly to the goal. The free kick that followed was where Mustafi scored. And then the other one was Harry Kane was denied what was clearly a penalty in the midway point of the second half. No call at all. But outside of that, like, I'm not going to – again, like, Spurs were the architects of their own downfall. I don't think that Arsenal – I mean, Arsenal played fantastic. I think it was probably their best game of the season to this point. But it was like a frustrating one in that some of the decisions did seem to stack against us a little bit.
Bummer, dude. You guys lost.
We did.
Harry Kane, bit quiet in this match, I think.
He was definitely a guy who looked rusty. You have to remember he just came back from injury, missed all the international break, which, I mean, I was happy about.
It's that big nil-nil tilt against Germany.
Yeah, Harry Winks came on as a second-half substitute, but also looked a little rusty and out of it. Dele Alli set out. He'd been injured. So Spurs are a little bit battered at the moment, but the Kane argument, I think, is accurate. Like, he just didn't quite look himself, and I think it was shaking off the rust to a certain extent.
Spurs now, we kind of mentioned this last week, or 2 weeks ago. Spurs are now 1-3 against top six opponents.
Yeah.
This season.
If there's an area that needs to be improved, that's definitely it. I don't know. Tottenham are one of those sides that, like, they're learning their new role in the ecosystem of European soccer. And
look, what is that role?
Right. Like, what is that? You know, Spurs used to be like the ambitious guys you'd have a laugh at. Like, it's cute that they think that they should be punching at that level. And now we're punching at that level.
Basically,
and
what Everton has been like the last three seasons.
But Spurs have taken that next step that Everton never were capable of doing, which was
especially not just
getting into the Champions League, which Everton did once and then crapped the bed and didn't actually qualify for the group stage. But also, like, you know, they made it last year. They got dumped out unceremoniously into the Europa League. this year they'd come back and they're now topping the group and beat Real Madrid and Dortmund so far. They're playing Dortmund in the midweek this week.
Yeah,
those are the things you want, right?
You guys have been handling the big opponents in the Champions League.
Which we didn't last year.
Right. But in league.
And it's tough. Like, Spurs are having to learn how to balance that those competitions in a way. Like, the Europa League that you're like, oh, you have to learn how to balance European competition so that when you get to the Champions League, you can be ready for it. It's just a different level, I think, in the Champions League. And Spurs are still, I think, going through the growing pains of that a little bit at this point. Let's talk a little bit, unless you had other points you wanted to make about the game.
No, you keep riding on.
Just keep doing it. Let's talk a little bit. There was like this narrative in the aftermath of the game, and I think mostly driven by Arsenal fans. It's like, there is no power shift. There's been a lot of talk of this power shift in North London. Tottenham are the more dominant side. And this proves that like Arsenal are still the top dog.
One match normally does.
Yeah. I wrote down here, one win or loss does not a power shift make. I think an argument can still be made that Spurs are probably the more dominant of the two sides right now.
By the way, I hate that phrasing.
What?
It's just a thing. So I was once stuck in a press box with a guy that literally every argument he said something does not make. And I was like, that's the only phrase you're going to use this whole time we're here?
It is. And I'm going to repeat it in the next 32 times over the next few minutes here.
I think you're right there. It was interesting. So I went to Rheinhaus for the match. Not this match. I showed up just in time for the 10 a.m. matches. And it was actually a weird thing where, like, there were, like, a ton of Spurs fans still just, like, sitting there. And I literally asked one of them, why are you still here? Like,
basking in the aftermath.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, why would you, like, I would roll out one of those side windows before like the final whistle.
Slink out backwards, just fall out it.
Homer going back into the bushes there.
Yeah. Right into the bricks at Rheinhaus. What was his response?
He was like, yeah, I'm finishing my beer. I'm like, that's been over for like 35 minutes.
Slow. You have to soak it in at that point.
Nursing that thing.
Yeah, it was a tough one. What I also wanted to kind of pull out of this whole process was like, what does this win really mean for Arsenal? And I have a hot take of my own, but I wanted to see what other people thought. So I gave two options in this Twitter poll. Only 38 votes, nothing crushing. The sample size was small, but also my following may be a little pro Spurs. However, 72% thought that this North London Derby victory for Arsenal was a high before a return to the mean.
Okay.
18% thought it was a season-changing victory.
Okay.
Those were the only two options I gave. I probably should have gave an option of C that was somewhere in between.
Like but meh plus?
Yeah, something along those lines. But I do think it's a little telling. I think 72% of my following are not Spurs supporters.
Right.
So I think one could say that probably 50% of the people that voted in this were not. But I
still just see it being a problem of going, hey, yeah, this is going to be like a real season changer. Like,
they still have all those same problems.
Yeah, like you still might like lose one of your key players in January just because
he feels like it.
You know, he wants to leave, and you either got to sell him now or let him walk.
Right.
Like you still have – oh, there's a lot of big questions that could really still hamper your season.
Yeah, I mean, people are raving about Ozil in this match, and he did play really well. Mm-hmm. Mustafi as well, if we're going to be praising Arsenal players here for a moment. But yeah. Ozil, everyone was talking like, oh, here he was. He's back. He's this dominant player again. Like, the guy could be – busting his balls to try to make a big money move to a big side. Like,
yeah,
that could easily be the case. He knows he's in the shop window. So, look, I'm not trying to undermine Arsenal's victory in any respect here. I think they again, were deserved winners. But it is a team that's got all these issues that are still lurking under the surface that are going to have to be dealt with sooner or later.
Ah, but a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. Band-Aid for this week.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with it being a Band-Aid.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What is it for Spurs, though?
I do think
it's a hiccup.
I do think it's a hiccup. Spurs tend to rebound after these. They had a couple losses last year that were a little smacking. So maybe this will be enough to wake him up and get him back on course. I'm certainly not making it a defining moment in the season by any stretch of the imagination. I think maybe it could be, but I think it's pretty likely not to be.
All right, let's move on. A couple of big results, and by big I just mean quantity of goals and goal differential in the match.
Yeah, there were a few of those.
There was actually a lot of those this week.
Yeah.
There was some blowouts. Like, if you lost, you lost.
I mean, there are three matches that had 4-0 score, four goal score lines.
Yeah.
So, let's start with one that you were probably pretty happy with.
Hey.
West Brom 0, Chelsea 4.
Hey. This was good just from the fact that, like, this is normally a match that we, you know, West Brom and Tony Pulis do their thing. And Chelsea eke out like a 1-0 victory, like at the end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they won the league, because they scored in a 1-0 victory, in the 86th minute.
Baggies are tough to get by.
Yeah, this was not the case on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea was high flying, and it was really all down to Eden Hazard had himself a match. Oh,
he looked phenomenal in this. Was only able to catch the extended highlights, and most of them revolved around him,
just
slicing things up.
Yeah, I mean, he was crucial on three of the four goals, setting up Morata by taking a blast himself.
Yeah.
Parried. First goal, yeah, parried right into the path of Morata, who hits it in.
Proves he can score with his feet.
He can.
Mm-hmm.
He can when he just hits it and doesn't try to do some kind of cute step over and then hit it.
Because
the step over, he then, like, the defender closes him down.
You know what you're looking for.
Second goal, Hazard rounds the keeper. Third goal was actually just a really nice free kick from the far left side from Fabregas firing it in across the goal and finding Marcus Alonso there to just volley it in.
Yep.
And then Hazard just kind of sitting there working the top of the box, finding his opening and taking a shot there for the fourth one. Chelsea looked great in this one. There's still some questions what's going on. David Luiz, again, not really a fixture in this one.
He mm-hmm.
was on, at least in the 18, but did not get in the match. And
interesting storyline there.
Yeah, you wonder if Conte's truly ready to see him go. It's funny. If you would have asked me to pick a defender from last season that was probably going to lose his spot, I would have gone Cahill over David Luiz.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's Cahill's holding his spot, and then you got a couple options there you can bring in, either Christensen or Rudiger, and then Cesar Azpilicueta, probably the best Chelsea player of the past couple of seasons.
So weird to say.
Yeah, but he is.
Yeah,
that's should be true. The captain.
Do you feel like Chelsea have finally found a bit of a rhythm at this point?
Yeah, I think so. I think you have a guy like Morata where I think he's definitely still in a phase of proving himself in the Premier League. So I think that's still going to kind of have its ups and downs. But yeah, I think they have themselves a good rhythm. They, at the moment, are pretty much all healthy. I think Victor Moses, I think, is the only guy right now with a knock.
Mm-hmm.
Batshuayi was also out, but that doesn't really factor in too much unless you need a goal in the last 2 minutes of the match.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I mean, they've had all these little micro dramas this year, the Luiz one being the latest of them.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to occasionally take a little bit of a toll on the side, but right now things are chugging for Chelsea. It seems like you guys are pointed in the right direction. And
Conte grew a beard.
He did, and you guys are now up above Spurs.
Yeah, we're in third place. We're actually in second place for a little bit there.
Hot minute.
Yeah, thanks, Newcastle. You had one job.
Yeah, they're always going to let you down.
Let's go to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they get a 4-1 victory over Newcastle. Newcastle actually goes out in front in this match. Dwight Gayle with a beautiful effort there that gets Newcastle ahead. And that goal was
highlight of the match for them, unfortunately.
And also assisted by the American, DeAndre Yedlin, on the assist.
Ooh, boy.
So that's got all of our juices flowing. We were making America great again that day.
Jimmy's wrestled. Boner American flag.
It did not last very long.
No.
United then scored 4 unanswered. Now, had Pogba back.
Yeah. He was on the score sheet, by the way.
Shocking. Yeah, he got on the score sheet. And shockingly, the day Pogba comes back, Lukaku's goal drought ends. Weird.
We are totally weird.
Weird.
We didn't predict that at all.
No, not.
Like, I don't know, say that 8 one. Episodes ago, along with everyone else in the world. Not at all surprising that both of them are kind of intrinsically linked to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just United seem to be, like, if those two guys are in the side, they're formidable. Like, they are unstoppable in a way that many other teams are capable of being. But when one of them's missing, and if it's both of them, then it's an entirely different situation. But
if it's a big match, Lukaku is in essence missing.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see them in a big match together. Like, will that have
Manchester Derby's got to be like in a couple of weeks, right? Like, we're hitting that halfway.
Got to be getting close
point in like the year, and that match hasn't happened yet, so it should be coming at some point.
Yep, but United up to second, Newcastle doing Newcastle things. Remember when this used to be a big rivalry? Like, this particular game was a rivalry. Like, maybe that was back before you watched the Premier League.
Newcastle versus a lot of people used to be a big rivalry.
Yeah.
It used to be a big match. Oh, yeah. By the way, also Zlatan is back on the pitch.
Tried to do something audacious the minute he's back. First game in.
Were you expecting less?
No. I would certainly hope not. The other big high-rolling game amongst the larger sides, Liverpool get a 3-0 win over Southampton. Mo Salah. Now sitting atop the scoring charts in the Premier League.
That guy's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Remember when he used to play for your team?
Yep, I did remember that.
There was another guy who used to play for your team who scored today as well.
Kevin De Bruyne?
Yeah. Weird how that stuff keeps happening.
Yeah, those guys actually scored goals like right around the same time. And I looked at the guy, the other Chelsea fan, I was standing next to the bar. I was like, so basically everyone who's scoring at the moment are either current or former Chelsea players.
Pretty much exactly what that means. So with the win, that pulls Liverpool up to 5th in the table, just ahead of Arsenal on goal difference there, just behind Spurs too. So, I mean, let's just talk about the top 7 real quick.
Okay, because you're going 7.
I'm going 7 because that's where the points kind of cut off too. United are on 26. They're in second place, 8 points behind City. We'll get to them in a few minutes. Chelsea in third on 25 points, so just a point behind United. Spurs just behind them, 2 points in fourth. Liverpool just behind them, only a point behind in 22 points, level with Arsenal, of course, who we just talked about on the goal difference high. And then Burnley in seventh. On 22 points as well. So they're just level with Liverpool and Arsenal.
Burnley hosts Arsenal this coming weekend, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wouldn't expect that. That's a top seven clash right there.
Contender match.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a super tight table right through those like spots 2 through 7.
Yeah. 1 through 2, not tight at all.
No, that's pretty wide open at this point. A pretty incredible sight to see with how tight things are in that area of the table at the moment. Let's continue to hope that it remains that way, at least for entertainment purposes. There was one other big blowout at the weekend, Bournemouth 4-0 over Huddersfield. I don't really know what happened here. I know that Bournemouth also had a red.
Callum Wilson, 3 goals. Up the cherries.
Holy chow.
let's whip around the league here real quick, though. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that one. Probably the best match of Saturday was actually Crystal Palace 2, Everton 2.
Mm-hmm.
The battle of two atrocious sides having terrible seasons. Going into it, you thought, well, this is going to be a rock fight. And it actually turned out to be a pretty good match.
Pretty good in the fact that two terrible teams were trying to out-terrible one another.
It was like a death match between the two of them.
The Eagles got on the board just 52 seconds into the match with a nice little tap-in. Zaha also doubling the scoreline for them. He's on the score sheet again with another good showing. Palace did manage to shoot themselves in the foot pretty excellently by gifting Niasse Everton's equalizer. And then Benteke also missed a sitter at the end. Benteke, a player who like everyone in the world seemed like they were chasing like 18 months ago, and a guy that we never, ever talk about anymore.
Right. Yeah.
The new Andy Carroll.
Yeah.
In mind, body, and spirit. But yeah, it was an excellent match to watch. What other ones do you think were worthwhile?
I guess we should mention Top of the Table City. They get a 2-0 win. Mm. We mentioned that Kevin De Bruyne scored a goal.
That goal, by the way. Whew.
Yeah.
Spicy meatball.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You put a little on it.
Yeah.
And Gabriel Jesus also scoring there as City continue to roll this season.
Yeah.
What, they've just dropped, what, 2 points the whole season?
Yeah.
To Everton.
Yeah.
Everton.
Of all the teams.
Now, I believe they played most of that match with 10 men, but still.
Yeah. By the way, that Gabriel Jesus build-up, also a spicy meatball. A pair of spicy meatballs laid out on City's behalf. Another 2-0 scoreline, Burnley 2-0 over Swansea. That was a terrible match. I watched that while doing chores today.
Ew.
And I enjoyed the chores more.
Yuck. Watford 2, West Ham 0.
Mm-hmm.
Watford still looking decent.
Yeah.
And West Ham still having problems.
Yeah.
Made a change.
This was the first match in charge for David Moyes.
Heard of him.
Back in the Premier League, looking way too worried for a guy who literally just got the job. Like, way, way too worried. I feel like managers on the whole were like the storyline in this particular match. You know, obviously Moyes, this was his debut. West Ham laid an egg, as they're prone to do.
Does Moyes just look back at his time at United and just go like, was that like, did that actually happen? Was that like just like a fever dream? Did I actually?
Maybe, but.
Was I actually in charge of the biggest club in England?
Think back too, like, to Everton. Like, it was rocky at the end of his Everton time there. Like, yeah. He was arguing with the board constantly about signings. Goes off to United and has one of the most tumultuous spells of any Manchester United manager in the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a bit of an oversight, but.
We'll take
it.
He's in that argument.
This is hot takes.
Hot takery.
But yeah, I mean, it's got to be something that would really screw with you a little bit. And then he went over and did the thing in Spain and really didn't do much.
What was that there thing exactly? Besides not speak Spanish well.
It was something along the lines of, I would like tapas a lot more frequently over the next 8 to 9 months. I don't know. That's why David I would do it. But also Marco Silva, Watford's manager, in the hot seat a bit at the moment, not necessarily at Watford, but more in the fact that his seat is being warmed up elsewhere.
Yeah, Everton.
Rumor is Everton, yeah.
And Watford has told them, yeah, look elsewhere.
Yeah. He wants to stay here, which is probably false.
Probably a lie.
So, yeah, that match was... It was an okay watch, if nothing
else. What's our Monday match that we will not be recapping because we're recording on a Sunday night?
Yeah.
Brighton Hove Albion hosting Stoke.
That sounds like an English match right there.
That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. Everyone line up for it. Hey, we'll be at Brighton where they do tend to have a decent atmosphere, so maybe it will be worthwhile.
Hey, how about that?
We can all hope.
Let's go stateside.
Okay.
Your league, USL, mm-hmm. has officially wrapped for the season.
It is done.
We have a winner.
We do have a winner. Winner, chicken dinner.
To the rivals of FC Cincinnati, Louisville City.
I had a nice GIF queued up.
Yeah, if they were to lose.
If they were to win.
Oh, which they did.
Which they did. And I ultimately did not. Post if you've
this
ever
one's, this
if,
one's left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, if you've ever run a social media account, this happens. Like if there's like an actual, you know, like in, you know, some sort of job related
mm-hmm.
one where you're like, this will be a great idea, and even if you do it, you know it'll be great, but it'll go poorly for you.
Yeah,
I had a GIF queued up that was of someone going, ugh, just making a disgusted face.
You were afraid that was going to go over poorly.
But I just felt like it would be received poorly, so I opted not to do it and took
Twitter time. Is the, well, what, as one guy used to call it, I guess you have to change it, update it now, but I guess the 280 character resignation letter.
Yeah, that's a perfect way of describing it. I didn't feel like writing my resignation letter in those 280 characters. But Louisville City getting the 1-0 win over Swope Park Rangers.
Mm-hmm. It was not the most watchable match ever.
Oh, no. No, it wasn't.
But a win's a win.
You could say some of the announcers felt the same way.
Yeah, that might have happened.
But, yeah, Louisville finally getting the monkey off their back, qualifying for the final after making it to the Eastern Conference Final to their first two seasons. And then taking it even a step further and knocking off Swope Park, who are left at the altar for the second year running.
Mm-hmm.
They control large portions of this match, too. It was kind of unfortunate on their behalf, whereas last year they got smashed in the final by New York.
They were just trying to hang on.
By Rebel New York.
They were literally trying to ride the bull.
Yeah, they did not ride the bull. The bull rode them for sure last year. But this year they took it to Louisville over stretches, and unfortunately, Louisville have a field that, if you're more acquainted to it, tends to lend itself towards making you the better attacking side on it.
Mm-hmm.
That may have also been brought up by the announcers accidentally post-match.
Hot mics, guys. Hot mics.
The hot mics are literally the most dangerous things in the world. It seems like every stupid thing ever said has been caught by a hot mic. It's very rare that someone does it knowingly on a mic that's hot. It's almost always unknowingly.
Yeah. Because obviously then you wouldn't say it.
Some people do.
Oh, that mic's hot. I'm going to...
Like someone like Kanye West is not afraid from dropping a hot mic. I didn't know that was on statement, but I did know it was on.
Well, like our president's well aware that it's on.
Yeah.
He just goes for it.
That's another guy who does that.
That's also a guy.
Yeah.
But congratulations to them. Congratulations to Luke Spencer, former FC Cincinnati player, former Cincinnati Saint, former Cincinnati Swerve.
Oh, man.
Former Xavier player.
Yeah, former Cincinnati United Premier player. Can we keep going back?
Who else? But Kyle Smith. Mm-hmm. I think he had a cup of coffee with the Saints as well.
Yeah, he did.
So, congrats to those two.
Yeah,
they are now USL champs.
Yeah, and being completely honest, congrats to Louisville City and their fans and the city of Louisville. It's a cool moment anytime you lift a trophy of any sort of significance.
Mm-hmm.
For in a city that many people, myself included, at points doubted whether they could be a soccer city, they've continuously proved that point wrong. You and I were there for the inaugural match of that franchise in Louisville, and were awed at a crowd that was nearly 7,000? I think it was 7,000.
Yeah, it was around that.
We're awed by that, right? Like, before FCC came along, and this is by no means a knock on them, Louisville, what we were talking about in lower league soccer, like, holy crap, this was happening.
This is how you do a first year, right?
Yeah. And so, for a team that's gotten almost there, and not really taken a whole lot of missteps outside of a few marketing decisions here or there, it's a really cool moment for them. And I do want to give them the props when they're very much deserved. But at the same time, as an FC Cincinnati employee and fan of Cincinnati in general, screw you guys. No, but really, it was pretty cool.
So good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they going to fold? Because apparently that's what you do after you win a championship.
No, that's – but even that's in the air right now. Yeah, you're making reference to the San Francisco Deltas, who also hoisted the NASL trophy in their Division 2-ish. Yeah, it's Division 2 right now. Their Division 2 title
This was
match.
A Division 2 season, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then proceeded to immediately fold. Now there are rumors that they may get
saved. I guess NASL is basically trying to look for a buyer, it sounds like, essentially, mm-hmm. or they might do what they've done a couple times in the past, where they basically league runs the team until they're able to sort out ownership.
Yeah.
Which is not anything new for the NASL.
We can talk about a few of the things we know now in the NASL situation real quickly.
Uh-huh.
We know that their injunction to – wait, let's make sure we get this right. Their request to provide an injunction that would block them from dropping from Division Two has been denied.
Right. Yeah, we talked to Napoon 2 weeks ago about that.
We know that there is now an appeal process that's ongoing.
Uh-huh.
And there are rumors, potentially, of them settling with U.S. Soccer.
Like a settlement. Because yeah. I think U.S. Soccer goes, you know, it's just better for soccer if we just don't have
all this
leagues
drama.
Flaming yeah. out.
But that is yet to come to fruition. We also know that there were a number of Division II sides that were going to pop up to help prop the NASL up. Some of which may have been closer to here than we would have imagined.
You talking about NPSL sides?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Handful
of teams.
A handful of teams. A
lot of letters of intent mm-hmm. signed. Some near, some far.
Mm-hmm.
Some near.
Some real near. if you would like to read in between the lines, feel free to. But it is a
contact
league.
At Rollins.
Yeah, right. But there are some interesting things that are continuing to go on in that landscape as well. So the off season
ever changing
and the lower
as
leagues,
as it has been for years, ever changing.
Other news. Let's real quickly say in the lower leagues because it's been jam packed.
Let's
stay outside of Cincinnati because that's a whole other tornado.
Yeah.
We now know several new teams are going to be joining leagues.
Yeah, yeah.
So we now know that Memphis, Tennessee, will be joining Nashville FC in 2019.
Yeah, and Birmingham.
And Birmingham,
so
Alabama.
That's a really good – I mean, that's some good natural rivals right there for
yeah,
the three southern sides.
So
all
that's
about 3 to 4 hours between each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good little road trips.
We also know that Vancouver Whitecaps 2 are no longer.
Yeah, and so – and. Whitecaps will partner with the new Fresno team.
That's right. So also lots of moves on their front. Las Vegas now have a name. We talked about this a little
yeah,
bit. But
we'll talk about
the
that.
Lights.
They have a coach. They
yeah.
hired some ESPN Deportes employee.
Mm-hmm.
Forgot his name. Bold gentleman.
Hmm. You're
looking,
on, you're on board then. Yeah.
But I think the biggest one is North Carolina FC.
Yeah.
Making the jump.
Yeah, official. This has kind of been one of the worst kept secrets in lower league soccer for a while now.
Well, when your owner has been firm since the decision from USSF of, oh, we're going to be Division II. Well, but the league you're in right now isn't. So
yeah.
The only one that is would be.
Yeah. So they make the jump officially. They'll be in the league this year as well.
Mm-hmm. That's talk about a team that's going to come in and really strengthen that league.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
They've been doing it well there prior to their rebranded NCFC.
Mm-hmm.
Back when they were the Carolina Railhawks, were drawn well there and have drawn well there in Cary, North Carolina. Great little park.
Yep.
It'll be good to have them in the league. Another solid rung in the support structure.
I'm trying to think, is that the first – will this be the first USL team that also their ownership also fields a NWSL team?
Yeah, but there's been talk of some other teams that are coming on board as well.
Yeah.
I think that is the case.
Cool. I'm trying to think. Any other? So much stuff happened. We didn't talk about this. The tectonic plates of lower league soccer always moving. A lot of stuff happening. A lot of stuff probably still to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We're hitting that time of the year. You think about last year. Where were we at last year? We're sitting here going, I mean, is the NASL going to be around? Like,
yeah.
We're going to get this decision here any day now. And my goodness, I mean, if this goes poorly for them, they could be gone. They are already hamstring because they've lost some teams to USL.
Like, I'm sorry, but this feels really Groundhog Day-ish, if I'm
being honest,
because
really
I feel like we're in the exact same role.
Yeah.
Like right now. We're in the position of questioning whether NASL is going to be around next year or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we've come a long way, and yet how little we've come at all. Like
I guess we talk about local news or local stuff of this. Dayton Dynamo,
mm-hmm.
a club we both used to work for.
Yeah,
they have now made their intentions clear about going. The big jump up to the professional levels. They're, I believe, talking to the guys there. They're definitely targeting one of the, what sounds to be many, D3 options that
mm-hmm.
are going to be available to them here in the next couple of years. So they're looking to make that move in 2019. foregoing the 2018 NPSL season.
I have opinions on that.
Yeah. Negative ones?
Maybe.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Joining the cacophony of former employees who are saying that. But what do we know? None of us have worked in soccer.
Nah. Don't know that market either.
Nah. There's nothing we know about that. Yeah, not at all. It's not like I've played most of my life in Dayton.
MLS playoffs?
MLS playoffs. Yeah, let's go there.
Hey, those are starting back up again on
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, both Eastern and Western conferences will be in action. We'll be watching not in person.
No, unfortunately.
Either one of us.
Thought about it. Wanted to.
Kick in the nuts.
Both of us will be enjoying Tuesday-long drives with kids and cars.
To go see our parents.
To go see our parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Columbus kicking off, Toronto FC will be visiting for the first leg of the Eastern Conference Final. Also that evening, Western Conference Final kicking off as Houston will be hosting Seattle in the first leg of that leg, that side of the bracket. So
who's going to be their keeper?
I don't know. That's a fabulous question.
Their main keeper was arraigned on domestic violence charges this week.
So. Yeah,
I'm gonna guess he's not in the picture.
Probably not, but
for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting situation that's unfolded there.
An indefinitely kind of situation.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Yeah,
it's one of those where you can say it's indefinite, but he's not going to be playing the rest of the playoffs.
Houston's got to be the surprise of the last four, right? I mean, you could make the Columbus argument
didn't
as well.
Didn't we say this last time we recorded? Like,
I didn't even know they were in the playoffs. Yeah, didn't even
like,
know that.
Yeah, and yet here they are. I had a good chat with Omar Cummings, former Houston Dynamo player, the other day about them a bit. And I said he spoke to a couple guys on the team, and their spirits are high. They enjoy the fact that no one knows that they're really there.
Flying
under the radar. So, we'll see what ends up happening on that front. But Seattle, obviously, the holders. Last year they were a bit of the underdog, surprised everyone, made the run that they did, and now here they are. They're the highest seed in the West left, so should be an interesting matchup. Obviously, I did a little bit of the math here.
Okay.
The team split this season.
Uh-huh.
2-1 win for Houston in Houston, and then a 1-0 win for Seattle at Seattle. So, sounds like this one's heading to penalties.
Yeah. Ooh, can't wait.
I mean seriously, this one has penalties written all over it.
And the Western Conference playoffs have been lacking goals.
Mm.
Where there's been a lot more goals out east.
Well, I just think the East is the better conference in general as well. So,
oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the East. I also went back and looked at the records this season for the sides.
What's the Trillium Cup record?
The Trillium Cup record. Toronto.
Is it or is it un? I don't even know.
It's Trillium is a flower.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. I feel, you know what's sad is I had to look that up. I didn't even know what a trillion units.
I just thought it was a made up word.
This whole thing is. But no, it actually is a flower that grows around the Great Lakes, both on the Ontario side and
I feel like Columbus
had
like a more natural rival in the league. Someone like right there in the state or something.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
That'd be pretty dope.
Yeah. Columbus, on the losing end, Toronto did lift the Trillium Cup this year. Columbus did get the first win back in April, a 2-1 win at home. Followed up quickly thereafter in May with a 2-1 loss to the Reds of Toronto. And then Toronto back at home in late May. This is the last time these guys played. It was all the way back in May.
Wow.
Columbus, yeah, which is kind of crazy. Columbus got battered, 5-0 win for Toronto.
Yeah.
I remember that was
the point in the season where you were like,
"Well,
wow,
this is a false start.
Terrible.
Yeah, this is all going to fall apart.
This is going real bad."
The team has gotten significantly better since that particular match. That was kind of one of those pivotal moments in the year for them, woke them up a bit and sent them on their ways. So we should be set for a pretty good playoff matchup in both sides of the equation. Although I'm expecting the one in Seattle will definitely go to Pens.
Yeah. And what you say, but so Pens out west, Scorefest out east?
Yeah, I think that's definitely what's going to have. Both teams just run and gun.
Can't wait.
Should be fun.
Do we want to do predictions here? I mean, I feel like we're both, our heart's going to make us pick Columbus.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to pick Columbus. I can't do anything
out west.
There. Houston for the shits and giggles.
Yeah.
Why not?
a Texas team against. All right, anyways.
Yeah.
Winners and wankers?
Winners and wankers, indeed. How about your winner?
My winner. Yeah, we mentioned it earlier. San Francisco Deltas, you pretty much, you know, this is a team that was basically told it's over, folks. A lot of the front office had already left. Every player and coach knew that their contract was up, mm-hmm. was going to be up like days after the final.
Yeah.
And yet they went out there and won that match. And it just showed a lot of just heart and grit. A lot of good players, the coach, you got to see, it's going to be fun to see where those guys end up going if San Francisco Deltas aren't able to hang around. And even if they are, it sounds like, if the league's operating them, they're going to operate them on a pretty bare bones budget. So yeah. I would see a lot of those bigger names aren't going to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what happens to those guys, but kind of a cool thing. It was weird, and I think I said on Twitter, watching this team that was essentially a zombie, the front office everyone was already taking new gigs. Everyone knew that their job with this organization will be ending by that time next week. And here they are celebrating this trophy, this title that they've won.
It's wild.
It was weird. It was sad. It was beautiful. It was hilarious. It was so NASL.
You know what's crazy is I felt almost tempted to give all the fans who rushed the field there
your wanker?
My wanker this week, right? Because
where have you been?
Yeah. Like, seriously, like, there were people rushing that field that it was probably their first ever Deltas game. Not that that should inherently be wrong. Like, maybe you've never been able to come and you finally were able to, like, right? Like, I'm not trying to write that kind of stuff off. Right. But
hey, guys.
It seems really like, I'm running on the field because I can, right? Which, ironically, let's go real quickly, a little segue to the Louisville game. It was hilarious watching the Louisville PA people desperately plea with people to not rush the field, which everyone did, because it's not their field.
Right.
And that the Bats grounds crew were going apeshit over that.
Like, oh, yeah.
They were seething that there were 1,000 people standing
there. They were
the
just
field.
Sitting there racking up
right,
the...
right in the infield, by the way. Right in the infield.
The whatever bill that they were going to be sending to Lou City. Your winner?
My winner. I have to give it to the fans of and the residents of Columbus, the Columbus Crew fans, who in the face of the greatest adversity any team's fans could ever actually face have likely... I think the league's now announced it, sold out Tuesday's first leg of the Eastern Conference Final against Toronto.
Uh-huh.
Look, this is a team that not many in the league may have hoped were in this position. And it's been really cool seeing a city rise up to embrace a club that desperately needs that embracing. Like, I think it's an incredible scene to watch that kind of happen. You don't see that type of stuff happen very frequently in the vein and light that it's happening in Columbus right now. So my hat's off to them. I'm sad I can't be there to join you guys.
Sold out crowd that will be announced as 14,000.
Potentially.
Did you see the quote from Justin Merrim about that?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, there's no way there's 14,000 people there. Like, there was way
felt
more
like
than
there
that.
Were way more than that. How about your wanker?
My wanker. America.
Oh, dear.
We're going to host an NIT version of the World Cup.
Oh, my God. We're on the same wavelength.
Okay.
Go on. Thank you. Say your bit.
So we've decided, and by we I mean Sunil and company, that, hey, we're not in the World Cup, but let's not – you know what, guys? Let's not – let's turn this negative of not making the World Cup, having our national program kind of – taking a step back.
Yeah.
Let's turn this negative into a positive. And by positive, I mean, let's host a nonsensical tournament with all the other teams that didn't make it. And we'll take $100 baths.
Seriously. Everyone's calling it the soccer NIT, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
This was also my wanker this week. Like, anyone who's backing the idea of this thing, don't. Do this.
Yes.
Like, don't. I get it. And look, I'll be guilty here. I would watch it. I would watch it. Be like, oh, you know, there's some dud World Cup games. If they do well, they'd like
watch it. Heck, if there's a game in Cleveland, like there almost undoubtedly will be, I'll go to it.
Yeah, that's a valid point. Look, their FIFA will not sanction these matches. Like, will right. not at
this
all.
This is some rogue, some they, rogue
there's
stuff.
Absolutely no way they will do that during their showpiece event, like at all. Which means that players will not be forced to come to it. So let's imagine a scenario where, say, the Italian team accepts the invitation to this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see like the best Italian players shooting up for Italy because they're all going to be taking a vacation that they wouldn't have had otherwise if they'd gone right. to the World Cup.
And you're going to have that kid from New Jersey starting.
Giuseppe Rossi. Oh my God, that would be incredible. Holy shit, would that be incredible. But because of that, you're going to be seeing guys who are like C-team call-ups at best. So at this point, it's not even a match that's going to be of any sort of use from a developmental standpoint for all these young players that we were trying to get in the mix. It's legitimately nothing more than a money grab.
Yeah.
And this, I would contribute to it most likely.
This is the powers that be going, hey, how can we turn this bad situation into a moment where we can go Scrooge McDuck and jump into a pile of coins?
Hey guys, we have all these lemons. Let's make some lemonade. Except for it still tastes like crap. Let's not do it.
Yes, that's your wanker too?
Yeah, my wanker as well.
Yeah, that's because it was like the joke. We all had that joke. Like, hey, wouldn't it be funny? And then like it's like they're actually considering doing it now.
Well, you know, enough tweets happened. I'm sure it trended. Well, there's like, no hey, way that NIT and soccer were not a trend in the United States that night. Because they're like, I refuse to believe that not everyone made that joke at some point or another.
Can the NIT actually stand for what people always say NIT stands for? Which is not in tournament.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what it'll be.
I can't wait to hate this and both enjoy every moment of it.
Well, I enjoy the double standard.
And by the way, have you decided who you're gonna like pull for in the World Cup?
I don't know. I don't pull for teams in like the NCAA tournament. It makes it a little bit more fun for me.
Sure.
Like I get to enjoy everything in that respect.
But yeah, I really think this team's going to show up.
People hate on this in Cincinnati a little bit for whatever reason, but I'm going to go with my family heritage here. I'll probably root for the Germans. It seems an easy vote as well. So I'll probably buy one of those dope kits they have.
I guess my family heritage would also be going for the Germans because, I don't know, I guess France made it. Welsh did not make it.
If you're up for some drama, France Canada is the didn't team make to get behind. It. You should get a France jersey. That's what you should do.
I should.
Yeah.
Big France guy here.
I you look it.
I gotta get, as long as like they pretty much always have like nice big chunky collars on them, right?
No, I have a French kit. I actually have one and it does not have a collar at all.
Wow. I mean, then is it really a French kit?
It looks like a French naval uniform. So yeah, it actually looks nice. Incredible. Yeah. So on this note, we don't need to get any further into my wardrobe. If you have any questions,
we already went shoe shopping earlier.
Yeah, we don't need to get into that any further. But questions, comments, things you want to talk about, get a hold of us. contact@wrongsideofthepond.com. Seriously, do it. No one's done it in a minute. We would like for you to do it.
Yeah, say hi to us.
We're also not asking for questions as frequently. So
we're doing a bad job.
Get on that.
We probably need to get the question of the week back.
Yeah, we should.
That would involve both of us to not be insanely busy with our other stuffs.
Yeah. I don't see that happening anytime soon for either one of us.
No, thought it was.
Yeah.
Thought I was informed this week. They won't.
But if you want to be proactive and ask Jeremy a question, you can find him at Jeremy Lance on Twitter. He'll probably just answer you right then, but
probably
otherwise.
And then you'll yell at me.
Be like, yeah, that was a question.
That was a question for the podcast. I've had that happen too many times.
You do that pretty frequently, actually.
No, you're supposed to answer it on the podcast. I'm like, yeah, but I'm right here. Like,
yeah, I can just answer it.
Bang this out with my thumbs right now.
He doesn't have to wait. Until Tuesday.
Did you really want to wait that long?
Yeah.
All right.
You can find me as well at Wrong Side of Pond on Twitter. It's been fun.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Light meat or dark meat?
Always white.
Oh, disgusting.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Dry, gross. Dark meat.
That's what the
gravy. Eat the grizzle.
That's what the gravy's for.
Yeah, bypass the gravy.
Oh, now As a guy who's a heart attack guy, yeah, I can see why you'd do that.
Cranberry sauce?
It's disgusting.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right, see, we got some common ground there. All right, folks.
All right, see ya.